All right. Praise God. Before we get started, I want to know, did y'all hear about the last time there was a storm out there in the Gulf, about that ship that was out there? There was a ship out there, and it was about to, go under, and it was about ready to capsize and everything and going down. There was about a crew of about 100 people there. And so the captain called everybody together, and he told them, he goes, hey, is there anybody here who's a praying person? This one guy jumps out and he goes, I am. And he told him, he said, well, good, because we're short one life jacket. Okay, everybody else come with me. He can pray. So, better watch what you volunteer for. No. Praise God. The Christians always get the short end of the stick, huh? Praise be to God. Today I want to talk about grace and truth. Okay? In the beginning was the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, right? And Adam and Eve, of course, had to take the apple off of that tree, and they had to eat it. And, evil came into the world, essentially. And the knowledge of good and evil came into the world. But man became aware of deception, and it crept in, and lies, to give us a false reality of what life really is. That's what happened. We got a false reality of life and who we are. It's like Adam forgot who he was, that he was this creature, this creation, to have relationship with God. And what did he do? He ran from God. So he lost his identity because of this, because of the lie and deception that was there. Well, grace and truth, you can't really have one without the other. You need them both. And they're inseparable. Everything in grace is based in truth. And what may be even harder to understand is that everything in truth is based in grace. We need both. One without the other is crippling and disables agape. It hinders us from being complete. And when I say agape, I know y'all know agape is God's love. That's why that's the one word I always wish they never translated in the Greek. If any of the words baptism, I didn't. All the other ones would have been fine. For that one, I wish they would have left, because we have such a perverted view of love. But anyways, it cripples it if you have one without the other. And for an example, what do you think you get when you have truth without grace? Think about this. What happens to a church without truth, without grace, that has truth going in it? There's a lot of truth. It becomes legalistic, is what happens. Very, very legalistic. Okay? It becomes very judgmental. And people begin to be enslaved and in bondage. Well, truth is not to put us enslaved and in bondage. What does the word say? The truth came to set us free. Now, we don't always see or we don't always see that completely what is said there, because we tend to take things out of context. We tend to look at it and it says, the truth will set us free. And that's all we take. So I'm set free because I have truth. So I become judgmental, right? I become legalistic. If you don't follow these set of rules, it's all over. Okay, and John, and I guess a great... you can only have truth with grace, and that came through Jesus Christ, okay? In John 8:31, I want to read this in 32, it says, to the Jews who had believed him, this is the key, believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you will really be one of my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, then you will know the truth. When you know me, when you believe in me, When you believe in my teachings, and of course I'm speaking as Jesus, okay, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You can know truth outside of Christ, but it's not going to set you free. It's going to put you in bondage, because it's going to put you in that legalistic state. And I can prove it to you. All you got to do is look at any other religion in the world. They're all legalistic. Every one of them. You have to do certain things to get to heaven. Each and every one of them. Only Christianity has grace. Okay? Now let's flip it to the other side of the coin. I said we need both, grace and truth. What happens if I have grace and no truth? You know, we've come to know grace and the power of grace. And it is powerful. Grace sets you free of a lot of things. Because you know everything you've done in your past, God has forgiven. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Okay? But what happens when you just have grace and no truth? Actually, God gave me a word, and this is going to sound funny to you, because it's going to sound like it almost doesn't fit. It's the word licentious. Okay, and usually we relate that to unrestrained sexual activity, you know, all kinds of perversions and things like that, which is the first definition of it. It says sexually unrestrained, lascivious, libertine, and lewd. Okay, but I like the next two. The next two say unrestrained by law or general morality, lawless, immoral, going beyond customary or proper bounds or limits. I'm going to read that again. Going beyond customary or proper bounds or limits. Disregarding rules. Totally disregarding rules. You know what I liken it to? I liken it to an unrestrained, spoiled little brat. That's essentially what we are with grace with no truth. Stop and think about it. I have grace, I can do whatever I want. Nani, nani, nani. Daddy's going to take care of me. Daddy's going to give me whatever I want. Okay? That's sort of the attitude we get with grace with no truth. Okay? We become unrestrained, spoiled brats. But you know, sin will still harm us even though God gave us grace. It'll still come against us if we let it. If we insist on living in it, if I insist to say, oh, it's okay, you know, I can go lie to whoever I want because God's forgiven me. You know, I can go steal this from my company. Who cares? God's forgiven me. You know, I can go cheat on my wife. It's okay. God has forgiven me. So she finds out, then I'm in big trouble. No, but that's what happens with just pure grace with no truth. They go together. And I'm going to show how they go together in just a few minutes. So it's sort of like, you know, there's like these overpasses or, a sharp turn on the road. Okay, it may be that there's a speed limit up there that says, you know, slow down from 75 to 35 to take this curve. Okay, and you may cheat it a little. You know, most of us do. We're doing 40, 45, we're doing that. But if we continue to push it, if we say, I don't have to obey the law. I don't need the law. I can do 75, 80 flying around this curve. Well, I guarantee you, you're going to hit a point where you're going too fast and you're going to fly off the road and hurt yourself. Even if you think you have the freedom to go any speed you want. Even if that is not posted at all. If you try to do it, you're going to fly off that road. It's just a natural law that's going to happen. So grace did not come, I also put here, grace did not come to replace the law. It came to fulfill it. There's a difference. Okay? Jesus brought grace and truth. Jesus fulfilled the law. We fulfill the law in Christ Jesus. Okay? We don't replace it. We fulfill it. There's a big difference. Because when we're walking in love, yeah, we don't need the law. Because if I'm walking in love, I'm going to do what the law says to do out of my heart. Because the law was based in truth. Okay? But it didn't give us grace. That happened when Jesus came. If you read in John 1:14, it said, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." He came full of grace and truth. You know what that word "full" means in the Greek? It means complete. It means full. It means completely occupied with. Jesus was completely occupied with grace and truth. Okay, we see Paul. Paul fought legalism in all his, just about all his epistles, his letters. Just about all of them, he fought it. Because people couldn't grasp grace. They couldn't see grace. They had no problem with the law and legalism. Okay? They had no problem seeing truth. They couldn't see grace. Okay? So Jesus came bringing both, grace and truth. Jesus was full of grace and truth. He was completely engrossed in it. And if you notice in verses 1 through 13, and I'm not going to read them all because there's too many. These are the verses prior to the one I just read in 14. It describes the Son is always with God. Everything was made through Him, and that He is the light of the world, and darkness flees from Him. All that is in there prior to this. Okay? It shows how awesome He is. It starts off showing us how awesome it is, and then He says how He came. He came to us. This awesome God, this awesome Savior came to us. And what did He bring? In verse 14, He brought us grace and truth. That's what He brought. Now you may say, no, He brought us salvation. Salvation is part of grace. All the things that you can put that God did for us can be wrapped up in grace and truth. Amen? Then He explains why He came and He dwelled among us. He came not to condemn us. He did not come to rule or subjugate us. There again, He came full of grace and truth. Now when Jesus comes again in the second coming, what's it say? He comes to rule. But who's He coming to rule? He's coming to rule His children who have received grace and truth and are walking in grace and truth, and He's going to rule them in love. He doesn't have to rule us with an iron stick. He doesn't have to rule us with the law anymore. Because the idea is we're to become like Him. We're just supposed to become in His image. We're not supposed to be some different creature somewhere along the line. We're supposed to be in His image. Not only that, it is what we needed to become children of God. Without grace and truth, we could not become children of God. It's impossible. Okay? No way. He did not want us to be spoiled brats, and He did not want us to be legalistic lords. Jesus is our perfect example. In John 1:16 through 17, it says, "From the fullness of His grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." You see that? Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That's how we received it. And only through Jesus Christ. It didn't come through ourselves and something we did. It did not come through other people. It did not come through your mama or your daddy, your grandpa or your grandma. Okay? It came through Jesus Christ. It didn't even come from our good works. And it surely didn't come from the law. It came from Jesus Christ. And only through Christ. I say that so we see our need for Him, not just for salvation. We need Jesus every day. We need him every day in our walk. We don't need him just to get saved and then, okay, I can handle it from here on out, God. I'm good. You saved me. We need him every day. We need that grace every day. We need to know the truth every day. We need the truth working in our lives so we can overcome things. And in verse John 1:18, which is the very next verse, it says, no one has ever seen God but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side and has made him known. Mine reads a little bit different than that one does. Mine says, no one has ever seen God but the one and only Son who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father has made him known. He's in closest, and maybe it continues in 19, maybe I didn't get that. But it says, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father. In the, the King James, it says in the bosom of the Father. But I like the way the NIV says it, where it says closest relationship. Because that tells me it's about an intimacy with my Father. It's more than just him up there throwing rules and regulations at me. It's about a relationship. It's about a union. It's about, you know, us being so tight, so close together that you can't see the difference. Like Jesus. Jesus said, I do what my Father does. He was just like his Father. You've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. That's what he even told people. Okay? How many times around here have we said it's about relationship with God? He wants an intimacy with his children, not subjects, not robots. If we walk in this kind of relationship with him, people won't see Russ, they'll see Jesus. Now, they may see characteristics that I have. I may not be as outgoing as some people. I may not be as funny as some, you know, like Pastor. I may not be as funny as Pastor. He has his own set of characteristics. But the idea is when he's up here preaching, you see Jesus. If it's me, you see Jesus. If it's Daniel, you see Jesus. If it's one of you out there talking to a neighbor, they see Jesus. Okay? They see you as an individual, but they see Jesus. Furthermore, grace and truth are principles of agape love, which is who God is. Of course, it tells us that in 1 John, that that's who God is. Everything God has done, even if we don't see it or ignore it or even deny it, was done through grace and truth. They tie together. If you take one and try to separate it from the other, you have the problems we talked about earlier. So you may say, well, we live in a fallen world. It's filled with evil. It's filled with different things. Where's the grace in that? Where's the grace in this? Can I use the word hell pit? You know? There's people in the world that, I mean, we got it pretty good here in America. Let's face it. But there's other parts of the world, people are dirt poor. Dirt poor. They're lucky to have a meal for the day rather than three meals a day. Okay? They're praying just to get sustenance, just to stay alive. Okay? Now, I don't say that to try to make us feel guilty. You know, we're blessed. But I say that so that we see, how can I put this? So we see that we live in a fallen world with lots of problems, but it's not because of God's grace. We're in this situation because of our own doing. God gave man free choice. And because he gave us free choice, that is why we're in this predicament. We made the wrong choice. Adam made the wrong choice when he picked that fruit. Okay, course, we can't be too hard on Adam because we've all made bad choices too in this world. We've all made real bad choices at times, okay? But we're not in this situation because it's a fallen, because of the fallen world, because of God's doing in grace. It's because of our own doing. Now, I tell you, we have grace even because of that. Okay? If you look back in verse 16, it says where John was saying that. He says, we were given grace in place of grace already given. See, God gave us grace from the very beginning. But he's given us grace in Christ Jesus because we lost that. We lost our identity. If you really think about it, grace and truth was God's greatest gift, which is laced in everything he has ever done. Salvation, the gifts you've been given, this church, this body, your friends, your neighbors, everything is a result of God's grace. It's a result of his truths that have went forth. Okay? Free will given to man is unique. It's a characteristic of God needed to be his child. To be saved without free will would not make us God's children. There are angels and others in heaven, and God does not call them children, but he calls you his child. The truth leads to grace. The law was truth and meant to lead us to Christ. It was meant to lead us to grace and truth. To walk in the truth, Jesus is the truth, is to walk in grace. Truth and grace are life. It is protection. It is comforting. It brings peace and it brings liberty. That's what grace and truth bring. It is a harsh, cruel, uncaring, mean, and harmful when it is rejected. And we see that in a fallen world. Once again, Jesus is truth and grace. Everything about him permeates grace, truth, and agape love. In 1 Corinthians 13:6, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. I want you to think about that. It rejoices with the truth. It does not delight in evil. If you are truly rejoicing in Jesus, of course Jesus is the truth, right? He's the truth, the life, and the way. You are not only walking in love, but you won't delight in evil. There again, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. So we need to rejoice in the truth. Be happy in it. This is further explained in Romans chapter 1. And in chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened." It gets so bad that people no longer even want God's knowledge. By the end of verse 31, because that carries on, they finally come to the point where there is no mercy, there is no love. No love. What a sad state to be in, where there's no mercy and no love. Because they took a road of deception and lies. Because they didn't want the knowledge of the truth of God any longer. They went down that road. It's a sad state. Just the opposite of who God meant us to be. He meant us to be his children. And that is the road, when we take it, that's the road of deception. That's the road of perversion. That's the road of lies. What makes it hard for us to see is we are looking from a fallen world, full of deception rather than from truth in the Word of God. Lies, the opposite of truth, can look very appealing to our flesh. So the opposite of truth, the lie, can look very appealing to your flesh. It tells you things, it lies to you, It doesn't lie to you and tell you, oh, if you do this, it's going to be horrible. You know, that would be the truth in some cases. What's it tell you? Oh, it's enjoyable. Look at Joe over there. Isn't he having a good time as a drunkard? Getting high all the time? I was going to try to stay out of politics a little bit, but it's funny. I was at the gym, and I was listening. The one guy that's at the gym, he always turns on the news. And I was listening to the news. And it wasn't too long ago in our society where being gay was not really acceptable. I don't want to get into the whole deal about it, but they came out, this was, I think, on Monday. They came out and they were talking about a lady who got married. They were talking about how happy they were. They got married and everything. But she decides she's going to, be able to have boyfriends. And he was okay with that. And the news made it sound very appealing. Both of them were agreeable. It sounded like they were happy. Everything was hunky-dory. Everything was going good. Okay? But that's the way a lie is. That's not God's best. God wouldn't have made man and women to be together, a man and a woman, to become one flesh, if it wasn't God's best. He would have told us, it's fine to have polygamy. But now we're seeing this go in our society. Then it goes on from there. The very Wednesday, what do I see? Same newscast. And it's some lady who wants to marry herself. And they're making this big, halloo about how great and wonderful it is for her because she wants to marry herself. I wouldn't even conceive of something like that. But it sort of blew my mind. But that road is what I'm talking about. That's that lie that sounds good, because when you listen to it on the newscast, she was happy. He looked very pleased, full of joy. Sounded good. Why not? If she can't find a guy, why not marry herself? Okay? Without God's word, there's no reason not to, if you stop and think about it. There's no moral standard, or it is whatever you want it to be. And it's that simple. But I say all that, sorry, I didn't mean to get sidetracked like that, but I say all that because that is the road that lies and deception lead you down. The truth will not lead you down that road. Now, there again, as men and ladies of God, we don't go out there and say, go hang them from the highest tree for their immorality. Okay? Because some of us may have done the same thing. I don't know. I don't think any of us married ourselves, but still, we have done grievous things maybe ourselves in some way or some point. Okay, that's where grace comes in. But grace does not neglect truth. Okay? I skipped over something I need to jump back to, I think. But when we see this grace and this truth, Jesus is our perfect example of how to handle that. Jesus is our perfect example of what to do. He walked in grace and truth. And one of the best examples that I can think of in the Bible was the lady caught in adultery. Okay, she comes to him. We know the story. He kneels down, starts writing down in the sand whatever he was writing. And he looked up and he told the people that brought her, says, whoever hasn't committed sin, cast the first stone. Okay, whoever has no sin, you cast the first stone on this lady. What was he speaking? He was speaking truth to him. What did they all do? They all turned around and left. What did he tell the lady? He looked at the lady and he says, "We're your accusers." They left, Lord. And he goes, "Well, I condemn you not too." When he said, "I don't condemn you anymore," what was he giving her? He was giving her grace. He was showing grace to her that he was going to forgive her sins and free her from all that. But then what did he say? "Go and sin no more." There again, followed it with truth. The truth is, don't do that. It's harming you. It's hurting you. I love you. Take my grace. Don't be like the spoiled brat who's going to continue to do the same thing over and over and over because you know your Father's going to forgive you. Learn from it. Let it change you. Let it help you grow. While Jesus walked this earth, he told his... I got to say this too. I'm sorry, I left this out. Grace was not given to justify sin or so we can live in our self-centeredness. Think about that. Grace was not given to justify sin. Grace was given to wipe sin out. So it won't be in our lives anymore. Not for us to go around and say, "Well, I got grace, I can justify whatever I do." It was meant to forgive us our sins so we can be free from that. Not only that, we won't be so self-centered. We'll be like Christ. We'll learn to love like Christ loves. We'll learn to think of other people besides ourselves. There again, I go back to that spoiled brat. What does that spoiled brat do? Does he care about his brother and sister? Does he care about mommy and daddy? It's give me, give me, give me. There's one piece of candy left. Not my sister's, it's mine. I want it. Okay? Does the parent still love the kid? Yeah, he loves the kid. He shows them grace over and over. God shows us grace over and over. And we should show grace to people. But we don't not tell them the truth either. We don't deny the truth and just say, "It's okay. Grace has justified your sin." No. Grace has wiped out your sin so you don't have to live in it any longer. We don't have to be part of that any longer. Praise God. So while Jesus walked on this earth, he told his disciples and the Pharisees and the Sadducees several times that you don't understand. Usually he did it in the form of a question. For example, John 8:42-43. It says, Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and now I am here. I have not come of my own, but he sent me." And then it goes on in 43, "Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you are unable to accept my message. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out his desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, refusing to uphold the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language because he is a liar and the father of lies." That's pretty harsh. I think Jesus just laid some truth on him. Don't you? He just laid some truth. It sounds pretty harsh. Where's the grace? Well, the grace is really in the truth. They needed to hear the truth because they weren't accepting his message. They weren't accepting the grace he was going to offer at the cross. They didn't want to hear it. They had Moses' law. They didn't need him. And they had their own arrogance, their own religion program. "We need you, Jesus. You're upending the cart here. You're creating a wave. We don't need you." Okay? They didn't want to understand his message. You see that? They didn't want to see it. They were blinded to it. Where we have the benefit, when we receive grace, to understand that message. We get to see truth for what it really is. It really will set me free. It won't put me in bondage. You know, there again, I go back to the legalistic church, and some of us have been there. And we know how it puts us in bondage because there was no grace. It was perform. Nope, you're not good enough. Okay, there was no grace. But when we heard grace, what happened? Well, some people grabbed a hold of grace and they went over to that side, all the way over here to licentiousness, where then they became unrestrained. I can do whatever. I'm free. God's forgiven me. Right? They went to that point. They went to that extreme. They sort of pushed truth out of the way. But truth never left. Truth is still there. Praise God. They could not accept the truth, and I'm talking about these Pharisees we just read about, because they were unable to receive Jesus' message. And what was his message? Simply put, he was the Messiah. He brought grace and truth and everything that entails, including salvation. Everything that entails. Even the disciples did not understand grace and truth until the ascension and the giving of the Holy Spirit. To the very end, they were thinking that Jesus was going to start the kingdom. That, you know, become ruler over everything. He's going to put these people in their place. But that was not his reason for coming. He came to bring grace and truth. Once again, why is it so hard for us to see grace and truth together? Because Christians seem to see one or the other, but we have both. Because it's easy for us to walk in our flesh, I think. It's a lot easier to walk in our flesh than to walk in the Spirit. God reveals grace and truth as we walk with Christ. Therefore, we need an intimate relationship with Him. And an intimate relationship only happens if we spend time with Him and His body. I would like to encourage you to figure out a way to spend quality time with your Father, your big brother, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And not only that, spend time with the body of Christ, where you will find grace and truth. You're not going to find it in the world. The ultimate truth and the ultimate grace was given by God. And that is, God is love, and He's given it to you. Amen? Praise be to God. That's all I got. Thank you. Praise God. If you need prayer, well, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that these words will touch the hearts of your people. I know it's touched my hearts, and I pray that I've presented it in a way that opens up the hearts to receive grace and truth, just what you came to bring. We thank you that you know what we need, and you brought it when we needed it. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for your blessing. And we thank you for these people here today. In Jesus' name, amen.